And the Holy Spirit just released it. And it became the message. And he said, I love it that it's like that. That he keeps me unpredictable. And this last week has been that for me. Like I don't have like this scripted message like I normally give you today. I don't have anything but a title and some scriptures on the screen. I don't have any slick one-liners. Nothing this morning is going to rhyme unless he makes it rhyme. Nothing's going to be overly memorable unless he makes it memorable. And I've just been like in this place over the last few days where I just was repenting. Forever feeling like I could do something here, me, that would change you. I got nothing in the flesh that can change you. I can give you wisdom from a whole lot of failures, but I can't hand you godly wisdom. I can't hand you spirit-driven wisdom. I can't hand you what only Spirit can give you. And here's what I know. I can't even explain it. There are no words. So I have no idea what today is going to be like. But I'm really excited to speak. That's what's crazy. I'm really excited to talk this morning. And here's why. Because I've prayed for you. I've prayed for every one of you. I can honestly say that every person that I'm seeing right now outside of my Aunt Judy, but I prayed for you right here. John and Joni, who are here from Ohio, good friends of ours. I didn't pray for you this week, but I prayed for you right here because I didn't want you in the room without being prayed for first. Everybody that's in here, I've prayed for. I'm like making sure. Oh, the Andersons. But I prayed for you back here. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather have me speak to you this morning? Or do you think it's more powerful that I have prayed for you? If I never, ever preached another sermon and all I ever did was pray for you every single week, that'd probably be the best thing. Actually, I know it'd be the best thing I could ever do as your pastor. So I repent to you today with clarity that I don't always do that. I wish I could say I do. And it breaks my heart because today, I am so filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that I can't even explain it to you. Like, it's overwhelming me. And I prayed this week, and I prayed, and I said, God, is it possible that somehow, some way, your spirit, would actually leave the throne of heaven and somehow invade my spirit, and that we would mingle. It's a cute word. That I would literally dance with you with such grace, with such love, that out of that would flow something that would actually speak to people. Is it possible that I can get that close to you that your heart, your spirit would actually become the message? That's what I prayed all week. And it is possible because I feel it. Do we have any Holy Spirit Kleenex? Not that I'm wiping it away, I just gotta soak it up and hold it for a while. There we go. This might get gross today, just so you know. So if you're new and all this is already wigging you out, that's okay. Just stay a little bit longer. It'll get better. There's my mom. My mom's always brought me Kleenex all my life. It's usually her sleeve. It's always been her sleeve, not a Kleenex. Father, we come to you, praise you. Actually, let me back up. Holy Spirit, we come to you. Thank you for being the conduit to the Father's heart. Thank you for being the mystery by which we can actually really, truly experience grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you for being there and never leaving. Thank you for always interceding on my behalf. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying for me. But I thank you that you have prayed for us. I thank you have prayed for the people in our neighborhood. And so I beg and plead for you to continue to pray as we go through this time together. I pray that we would walk out of here with a sense of peace, even though we have experienced all the destructive words that describe the Holy Spirit, that you are fire, you are wind, you're blowing through us, you're overpowering us, you are powerful, you are moving, you are... Father, we just want to be sort of wrecked by your presence today. We want to be so moved by you, at least I do, Lord. So that everything I speak would not be human words, because there is nothing in my flesh that can give people the message that you want to give them. So Lord, I am tapping into your presence. I'm actually tapping on the shoulder of you, and I'm saying, please dance with me and my words. Please dance with us today. Find us here in such a way that we are actually seeking you. In response to the fact that for eternity you have sought after us. That even if it's just for a moment today at 10:30, that you would look at us and say, oh, there's a few dance partners with me. I can move among them. So we beg you this morning to do that among us. And may the words that come out of my mouth be petitions of your Spirit, challenges of your Spirit, truth of your Spirit, calling us and wooing us and leading us to be the people that only you could make us to be. So we fully submit ourselves to you this morning, and we give you everything we have. We're listening. And all God's people said, amen. So I've had like an amazing week. Amazing week. Like it's been one of the best weeks I've had in a really, really long time. Like my walk with the Lord this week has been so close to him. So much so that it has actually surprised me, astounded me. Like I started praying really dangerous prayers at the beginning of this series. But I can honestly tell you that they were dangerous prayers that were more of a formality, because I'm like going, okay, I'm going to speak on the Holy Spirit. Okay, better start praying prayers that sound like we should be asking the Holy Spirit to move among us. So I started praying prayers like, Holy Spirit, directly at you as a person, intimately involved. Holy Spirit, would you move among us? Holy Spirit, I want to talk about you. I want to think about you. And it was sort of a formality until it no longer became a formality. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I began to, like, you might have had a friend in your life, somebody that you were like, man, I would really like to be their friend, but I guess I'll have to play the game for a bit and figure out if I really like them, and we kind of commingle and hang out together, and we'll see what happens. But it's weird, because the more you hang out with somebody, the more they begin to hang out with you. The more you spend time with them, more that their language becomes your language. You start to sound alike, talk alike. You begin to have the same mind and heart. And it's weird, like when you start to actually pray prayers to the Holy Spirit, all the things that we have heard and the mystery of the Holy Spirit start to become very real. Like they become tangible. Like I start praying for healing. And I'm not just saying like, oh, let me pray for you and pray for God to heal you. Like I've gotten rid of the little trite little statements this last week where I actually talked to somebody and they're like, yeah, going through this and this and this. Okay, well, I'll pray for you. No, you won't. Donnie, you will not. Stop. And you know what I do? Right there. Pray for him. Saw somebody at King Supers this week. Tell me their story. I said, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, thanks. And they start to walk away. It's like, no. Like, I'm told to pray for you, like, right now. On aisle 19. There's peanut butter next to us. I'm like, what's better than prayer and peanut butter? Let's, like, anoint you with peanut butter, because that would be, like, amazing. Right there, aisle 19. And I'm walking away, and another person comes up to me and said, I've never, ever seen that at King Supers. I said, not even in the meat department? Why, no. And he said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a pastor. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, that makes sense. And I said, no, it doesn't make sense, because pastors don't do that stuff either. And he looked at me and he said, would you mind praying for my marriage? What do you do? Yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll walk away. Things got weird. They got weird. But one of the best, weirdest moments of my life was all this week, every single day. And I, with tears in my eyes, I can't beg you enough to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit like that. Because there's nothing that will change you like he will. It's going to be a long morning here. So last Sunday was amazing, okay? I'm going to get into it in just a second. But last Sunday was amazing. It was an amazing outpouring of God's power and his spirit here. This place, there's still salt in the carpet from tears. Like, we prayed and we prayed till like 12:30, and it was just an amazing time. So I'll kind of share some of that this morning. So as you know, like, I'm not putting words on the screen. There's no points. There's no take-home point. There's no bottom line. There's none of that this morning. You're getting it. You're getting all of it right now. This is the bottom line. Well, what happened last week can't be scripted. It can't be planned. I couldn't make happen. I couldn't sit in my office long enough and prepare the best message so that stuff will happen. I can't make it happen. I can't. And last week was evidence that you have a part, but you can't make it all happen. You have to engage the body. You have to get people to be on board with this. You have to get people to pray Holy Spirit prayers, like prayers that would blow you away if they happened. And so it was an amazing night, and then Sunday night I got home, and just like clockwork, when you have like the Holy Spirit do something really amazing in your life, I get home Sunday night and I started to get this like burn in my head, you know? It's called a cold. The common cold. And I'm like, okay, really? Seriously? And here's how, this is where my fleshly heart went. I immediately thought, I can't get sick because I have a triathlon in 4 weeks. Like, how selfish is that? Like, I'm in my head, I'm going, I'm never going to make this try. I'm going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to make a fool of myself anyways. I'm like in really tight clothes getting out of water. It's not cool. So if you want to see your pastor like that, then come. But if you don't and you want to like avoid throwing up, don't come to that. Don't watch me do a triathlon. I'm just telling you, like, it was really, really weird. And I'm sitting there going, can you believe that after what happened this morning, you could start to get a burn in your head and you're going, you're worried about a triathlon. I can't get sick today. And then Monday, I get up and I'm feeling okay. And then we have a staff meeting. And during the staff meeting, not only am I starting to feel more of a burn in my forehead and my head and my sinuses start to hurt, but not only that, like I started to get one of these moments where I get a bunch of text messages that are not good. And they're from people that I love deeply. And I get 36 of them. So I'm having staff, and my computer's in front of me, and my phone and my computer are connected, so every time a text message comes through, my computer rings. Bing, 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 bing. My dad's sitting next to me, goes, what is going on? And I'm like, and I was like, ah. And he sees who it's from, and he looks at me, goes, okay, all right. And then I'm like shutting the computer, and I'm totally distraught. I'm like, okay, I got it. I have sickness in my head. Now I'm getting all this stuff's happening from the outside. Relationships are falling apart. You know, my chicken's heads at home and my coop are probably falling off at the moment as I'm like trying to figure this life out. And suddenly I'm sitting here going, what did you do yesterday? Why was it so good and now it's like so bad? Tuesday, not much better. Started to get sicker. Started pumping vitamin C, drinking lots of water. I started like thinking, okay, I'm gonna need antibiotics soon, probably. In my head, I'm living this fearful life out. Wednesday got worse. And I come into the office and I start studying. And I start like pouring into my study and I start scripting it out. Man, I got the coolest bottom line ready. I got like take-home points. I'm so excited. They all rhyme. You guys are going to have powerful moments because of this message that I'm preparing. And I'm so excited about it. And then 2 o'clock, I'm like, pfft. And I'm like passed out at home because I can't even breathe. And I wake up and I'm like, God, what are you doing? And this is what I felt he said to me. The best and the only thing that you can do is have me pray for you. Stop. Stop. Stop working so hard. Let me pray for you. I've got this. Like, oh, you mean you want me to pray to you? No, I want you to let me pray for you. Okay, so how do I do this, Lord? Just stop. So that day, Thursday, I spent legitimately 2 hours prostrate on the floor in my living room. Just completely face down. Not thinking about bottom lines, not thinking about messages, not thinking about who I should call, not thinking about what e-news needs to go out, not thinking about anything, just actually saying, you know what, I actually really believe that your spirit is somehow mingling with mine as I lay on this floor and you are praying for me. And this is the best thing I could ever do. And I thought, okay, God, I know that word. I know exactly what you want me to do. You want to intercede for me, because that's the word. You know what intercede means? Intervene on your behalf. It's when somebody comes into your situation and says, okay, I'm intervening. I'm coming in. It's crisis intervention is what it is. You're so filled with yourself that he's like, stop. I'm going to start filling you with me because that's all you need. You need nothing but me. The Holy Spirit is intervening in our situation every single day, and you don't even know it. But when we start to be conscious of it, he will absolutely move you. And here's what happens. He starts interceding for you, and all of a sudden you start having words and messages and prayers that are way too big for your thoughts, and you don't even know how to pray them, and you don't know what's going on, and so you just rest and you just let it go because the words are actually His. The Spirit actually is in you, and now it's coming out of you, and you can't even explain it, but it's real. And it's not for you, it's for somebody else. You thought it was just for you. I'm laying on the floor. I'm literally, no joke, I'm in my living room. I'm going, okay, I got this cold coming. I need to pray for myself. I even text Doug on Wednesday or Thursday. And I said, yeah, I'm like in my living room by myself. I'm on my knees in my living room with a bottle of oil. And I'm going like this. And I'm praying that God would heal my body. I have never asked for God to heal myself like that. I'm always praying for everybody else. And He's like, no, just pray for healing. Pray that I can heal you. Pray that I will touch you. Allow God to move in you right now. And so this is the passage that I was like walking through this week, because He's saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So no matter what burden you give Him, it is always going to be light compared to His glory. It's always going to be light compared to His power. There's nothing in your life that you can't give to the Father that He's like looking at and go, whoa, that was a curveball. Wasn't sure that was coming at me. I thought, wow, I thought I'd seen it all, but you really surprised me. No, He's like looking at this going, okay, I got it. Easy peasy. I got it. And this is it. Romans 8, 16 and 17, and I've read it already in this series, and I'm going to give it to you again this morning. For His Spirit, listen, joins with our spirit. And this is what it does. It affirms. It to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in suffering. So if I'm going to like share in the glory of God, I must actually feel moments where I have to be weakened in order to get it. My pride, my physical life, everything that I have, the dreams that I have, all those things sometimes have to just get put to the back burner, and He has to put us in a place of rest to actually fill us with the purpose that He wants for us. And sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just have to let Him have His way. And I love this because I started to say this, started to pray this to the Lord, for Your Spirit, God, joins my spirit. And when it joins my spirit, it just affirms what You've always said of me, that I am Your kid. I'm Your child. And because I'm Your child, I'm an heir. An heir to what? An heir to God's glory. Now, just literally take that for a moment. If you are an heir to God's glory, like what's God's glory? Well, again, I'll give you the word out of the dictionary, glory. I'll just give you some words that come out of it. The renown or honor won by notable achievements. His achievements, not yours. And then it says words like magnificence or great beauty. Restored. Restored to its former glory. Often glories, a thing that is beautiful or distinctive, a special cause for pride, respect, or delight, the splendor, the bliss of heaven with the saints in glory. This is all out of the dictionary. Praise, worship, thanksgiving offered to a deity, a luminous ring or halo, especially as depicted around the head of Jesus Christ or a saint. His spirit joins your spirit just to affirm what has already been yours, and that is His glory. All of that, beauty, splendor, majesty, renown, walking with His victory, not your victories. It's walking with His power. So the question that I had in this moment was, God, where have I actually let Your spirit lead me? Like recently, where have I literally said, God, I'm letting You completely lead me? Where has he done that even in our church? And immediately this week, I was going, okay, You did it on Sunday. You did it here. We let You actually lead. We actually prayed that You would lead. We actually talked about Your Holy Spirit. So what happened, just so you guys know, What happened at this altar didn't happen just because God just magically just shows up and all of a sudden something amazing happens. We actually had a part in it. So there was this cry out to all of our leaders and anybody else who wanted to come at 9:30 to come here and pray. So every single seat was prayed over. This altar was prayed over. The sound system was prayed over. They went into bathrooms and prayed over the bathrooms, like the throne room was prayed for, right? Like they were praying over the parking lot, every single step that leads into the building. I watched my wife stand on the front steps doing this stuff. And I'm thinking, people are driving by and there's this lady out there going, you know, it's amazing, right? They go downstairs, they're praying over changing tables, they're praying over nurseries. I see Debbie Stuke walking through every single room of this place and she's like, brushing some sort of angel dust over the doorways and the walls and like weird stuff's going on and people are praying like crazy. And then guess what happens? The amazing starts to take place. All the while they're praying, I'm in my office trying to walk through a scripted message that I had prayed for through the week that I got up here and preached, and I don't even know what I preached. It didn't come out the way that I wrote it. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know, what if we actually engage the Holy Spirit like that every single day in our of our week? And we said, you know what? I'm letting you intercede in my life. I'm letting you intervene. I'm letting your glory come. I'm letting you walk through me right now and into the lives of people. So last Sunday, like, all this happens. And then we get to this place up here at the altar, and people start coming down. So here's, before I even get to the altar, I finish my message, I go out there to the back, I'm standing at the back, and I feel as if God is saying to me, go back up there because you didn't do it the way I told you. I was totally in denial. Like, I don't like altar calls. Like, altar calls are old. Just let people pray in their own heart. Don't be so, like, forceful about their life change. And I was like, oh, man. And I come back up here, and I said, okay, here's the deal. If you feel like there's something in your life that you can't overcome, anybody? And people started raising their hand. And I said, okay, he's already got that, so why don't you just make a move to come down here? Let us pray for you. You know what's weird about that? Nothing. But somehow we get into a church, and a pastor stands up front, and we go say, why don't you come forward? I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. I'm actually going to ask that the God of heaven would come somehow split the throne of glory, intercede through my spirit, and actually be a conduit straight into your healing. Why is that weird? Like, we do this in Bible studies. We'll actually tell people, we pray for you, but are we? Are we actually becoming a real body of Christ that's saying, if you got pains, both physical and spiritual, come forward? So I'm up here, and there's a guy here, good buddy of mine, who likes to run. He likes to be active, and suddenly he's got pain in his feet. And he's got pain in his legs. I don't pray physical healing over people because I'm not good at it. That's what I said in my head. I'll pray for you, but like to watch somebody's legs get healed in a moment, I don't know what your theology is, and actually right now after this week, I'm not sure what mine is. Not sure. But I know that when I read the scriptures and I see the first century church and I see people that are healed and demons are cast out, I'm going, shouldn't it be possible that we can still do these things today? Shouldn't it be possible that somebody can come up here and they can actually be healed in a marriage, but they can also be healed in their feet? So there's like he's sitting here and I said, okay, David, I'm going to hand you over to somebody that does this, and I get Pika, I get Debbie Stuke. And I said, hey, Debbie, right here, come here. And here's what I love about Debbie. Debbie comes right over here. She grabs his legs. She pulls them out. And she says, stretch them out, stretch them out. And then people are gathering around her. And she goes, watch this. She was like, she had so much faith that God was going to do something in his legs that she's like telling everybody around. She's like, watch this. And it was nothing. I know what I know about her. She wasn't doing it. But she had so much faith in the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit that somehow this would change. So I like kind of move away because I'm like going, okay, I really don't know if I believe in that. Legitimately, because I haven't seen it happen. Like, I've tried praying for people and nothing happened. Like, I've gone to, not even in Africa can I heal people. Like, I go to Africa, and this is the place where people are being healed, and you would think that I would show up in Africa, but no, like, I think they're looking at me going, that guy's in the room, get him out. Nobody's going to be healed if he's here. Like, that's the way I've always felt about healing, physical healing. And we're sitting here, and there's like 10 people sitting around David, all praying for one leg. And I kind of like sort of dismissed myself, and I go out the back room, and then on Tuesday, I met with David because he's begging me to meet with him. And I'm sitting there at a coffee shop with David, and he goes, man, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And he goes, gosh, Sunday was so amazing. Okay, what was so amazing about it? He goes, I just think it's so cool that we can gather as a family of God and pray and ask God to heal us physically and spiritually, and he can do it. He goes, I'm a nurse. I know that even modern medicine sometimes doesn't heal people. But he said, all I know is, and he goes, look at this. And we're sitting in a coffee shop, and I'm looking around going, okay, this is getting weird, David, calm down. And he's like, stretches out his legs, and he goes, no. So I'm laying there on the front of that podium, and my feet are laying like this, and I'm begging God to heal, and they're praying for me, and my feet just start going. And it's 2 days later, and he said, I'm healed. I'm feeling it. And he said, I know I have to keep walking in it. I know that it may come back, but I have to believe that he'll continue to heal me. I have to believe that he'll continue to put his power in me. And I'm like, man, you need to preach a sermon. This is amazing. So God's doing these amazing things. We're doing all this, and all of a sudden, Sawyer's sitting at the back of the room. Sawyer's about this big. If you don't know who Sawyer is, Sawyer Stuke. It's Debbie's grandson. And he walks into the back room. He sees all these people praying. And he tells his papa, he tells his grandpa at the back of the room. He goes, hey, Papa, is Pika, that's his grandma. He says, is Pika praying? He said, yeah. And he smiles and he starts sprinting to the front of the altar to pray with his grandma. Why would you not want that in your family or your home? Why would you not want that in your household? Why would you not want that type of expectation that your children are begging for the presence of God and to walk out of here saying, I felt him? What was happening is we were walking out of here last Sunday and people were filled with awe. That's called Acts chapter 2. They gathered in one place, and people were continually filled with awe. And although that every single Sunday we may not be able to expect that type of move, because that's the danger in it, is we just assume that he's always going to work like that, and he doesn't. Like Martin Lloyd-Jones said, sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's just this sort of like waiting it out in this ebb and flow like a dance. And he's going to move. But we keep waiting in expectation that he's going to do something miraculous in our life. God goes through seasons in our life. You know what's sad, though, for me? Is I don't see this stuff happening in churches. I don't see it happening. I hear that it happens in small groups. I hear that it happens in Bible studies. But often I don't hear it happening in churches. You want to know why? Because we're so concerned about what songs we sing. We're so concerned about what the foyer might look like. We're so concerned about how the atmosphere is. And believe me, we do that here. Not that that stuff isn't important. It is. There are times where that is valid, but it's not the biggest thing. Like, we could have the coolest, slickest church, the best church. We could have the most relevant church. But if the presence of God is not here, then why do we ever want to have church? Goodness sakes, why would we ever want a church that is dead spiritually but looks really hip? Why would we want a church that is dead spiritually but walks in old traditions because for tradition's sake? Why? Why do we care so much about all the things that don't really matter, that the really thing, the only thing that matters is the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and that people would walk out? You know what I want to hear? I want to hear people walk out of here going, I was just hanging around for like an extra hour after church because I didn't want to leave. And then when they leave, they walk out and they go, like, literally, I felt like God was in that place. I felt like I was face to face with my Creator, like I was breathing His same breath. I could not get enough of it. I had to walk out of here, but I had to walk out because I knew that He was with me. Like Adam. Think about Adam. Can you imagine being Adam? Like, you were dirt. And then He's just like, right into your lungs. And you go, and He's staring right at you. It's like you and God, just the two of you face to face. And He's like looking at you going, hi, buddy. You're the first one. You're it. Just you and me, Val. Can you imagine Adam going, cool. What's for lunch? You know, like Adam would just be like, weeping. I want to be like that. I want a church that, like, we walk in and you felt like you were Adam walking with God in the cool of the garden. And then He creates Eve. And we're talking not just Eve. We're talking, whoa, man. Like, He created her and He's like, whoa, man. Woo! Humana. You know, like, and He's like looking at Eve. Can you imagine? He's like, she's got a great personality. No, He like created her out of your rib cage and out of His power. And suddenly there's this community that is created between the three of you. And now you walk in the garden and you have these conversations that are just deeper than eternity. It's about a relationship and a friendship. It's about walking with Him. Imagine that. Imagine Moses being a guy who, like, goes on top of the mountain and he's, like, literally with God in, like, the tent of meeting. Like, he goes into the tent and he comes out and everybody's like, whoa, you were with Him? What was that like? And he's like, comes down from the mountain, his face is glowing. And Abraham, who is called a friend of God, like, what if you were that close to Him that you literally believed that you were a friend of Him? What if you were a lot like David, where David's words are, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. And guess where he says this? In a dry and weary land where there is no water, but your love is actually better than life. So he's like saying, I'm dying out here. There's no water, but I would rather have you. Can you imagine being that desperate for the living God? Can you imagine being that addicted to His presence? Because you've worked with me, but you've seen people that are addicted, right? They're addicted to something that's destroying their life. And you're like, bro, seriously, like, this is destroying you. You got to get it. I know it's destroying me. I know. Dude, you're losing your family. I know I'm losing my family, but I just gotta have one more drink. Bro, you're losing everything that you have gained. I get it, I hear that, but I just need another hit. What if you flip that over to an addiction with the Holy Spirit and the Father, that you were saying, I know, but I just gotta have more. I gotta submit myself more to His presence. And then you got Revelation 21 that says there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more weeping. The moment that we enter fully into the presence of God beyond this lifetime, you will just be like, oh, this is what I've been searching for. This is what I've longed for. And my question is this, and this is out of my own conviction. If you aren't in love with God, then really, what is your purpose? Because if you look at Matthew 28, which is supposed to be like our mandate, told his disciples, he said, I've given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given. And so that's the verse we hear all the time and we quote. But look what it says. What it says at the very end, it says, and be sure of this. So, yeah, go, be witnesses, baptize, teach people, lead people, tell them about Jesus. But he says, and be sure of this. He said, don't forget this. This is the most important thing, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Like, if you don't have him with you, then you can't teach your children. If you don't have him with you, you can't fix your marriage. If you don't have him with you, you can't lead your wife. If you don't have him with you, you can't support and lead your husband. If you don't have him with you, you can't fix the relationships that are broken in your life. If you don't have him with you, you can't overcome anything. If you don't have him with you, you can't do what you're called to do, and that is to disciple and lead and walk people through life change. Like, we're meant to multiply. That's the goal. But why would God want two of you if you're not in love with him? Why would he want two of you if you don't love him? He only wants two of you if you desperately love him so much that you're addicted to his presence at all times. And it says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you. Oh, yes, power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then listen what this says. And this says, and, as if this is an addition to that first piece, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem. It's like the secondary can't happen unless the primary is in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit power, you have no power. So this last week, I'm laying there on the floor in my living room. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to tell everybody what I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. So God led me to Ephesians 1, and for the first like 3 or 4 hours at my house, I prayed Ephesians 1 over my life. And I just prayed it. And I prayed that God would just do this in me. And then when I was done, he said, now go tell everybody else. Okay, how do I do that? Just send them a text. Okay, so I can send it out as a news post, like email? No, I want you to send a personal text to every single person. And for 4 hours that afternoon, my thumbs were like getting calluses as I was texting you, telling you I'm praying for you. And every time I'm texting, I'm legitimately thinking about your family, and I'm believing that what God has done in the intercession of my own heart is now bleeding into your life. So the message was preached to you before I could ever talk to you today, because I prayed for you. You want to give me a gift? Do the same for me. Don't do anything monetarily for me. But the greatest gift you could ever give me is pray this prayer over me, and I want to walk through it for just a moment. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20, and we're going to close out. I have not stopped thanking God for you. Like, that one hit me. Because I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay. As I'm looking at people's names, I'm looking at Joe Crawford before I send it to him. Have I actually stopped thanking God for Joe? Like, God, don't make me a liar. And you know what I sent that text out to? Every person that is in our database. Which, by the way, just so you know, no one's been removed since I've lived here. There's close to 300 people in our database. So people that I think they're on my side, I sent texts to. People that I've actually wondered if they are, I sent texts to. People that have hurt me, I sent texts to. And I told them all that I loved them. And I told them that I was interceding for them and that I was praying for them. What if our church did that for each other? I've not stopped praying for you. I pray for you constantly. Oh, God, don't make me a liar. And so my mindset started to change in that moment. It's like, keep giving me prayers of your heart, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, to give you spiritual wisdom. I can't give it to you. I can't. I can't give you spiritual wisdom. Like I said, I can give you my brokenness. I can give you all the things that I failed, and I can tell you, don't do this. Like, I stole ski pants from Big Five Sporting Goods when I was 18, and I felt guilty for the rest of my life for it. Don't steal ski pants from Big Five. You're gonna like, in your head, you're gonna be thinking about it the rest of your life. Don't do it. But you know what I can't give you is I can't give you the wisdom of God. I can't give it to you, but I can pray it down. I can pray that God would actually hand it to you. Put it in your heart and your mind. Spiritual wisdom, listen to this, insight. Insight into the glory of him, that you might grow in your knowledge of God. And I pray that your hearts will be flooded. I'm praying destructive words over your life. I'm praying that you would be flooded with his parents, like saturated, like drowning, so much that you're like, I can't get enough, but I can't breathe. Flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. Do you know that I can't give you hope? I can't even teach it to you. And he just tell you about Jesus. It's all I can do. I can pray the Holy Spirit comes down in your life and you experience it. The hope that he has given to those he called, by the way, you're called, you are holy. You're a holy people who, to which his glory, rich and glorious inheritance has actually come into your life. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us to believe in him, for us who believe in him. This is, now look, this is where it's at. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I can't do this. I can't give you holiness. I can't even really teach it because it doesn't make sense all the time to me. But I know this, the more that I press into his presence, the holier I get. Gary Player, I don't know, he won in the PGA Championship. He won the PGA Championship and he wasn't supposed to win it. He gets into the locker room and some lady comes up to him, some reporter says, so how does it feel to achieve something that nobody believed you could ever achieve? He goes, it's really interesting. The more I practice, the better I get. The more you golf, the more you're going to be a golfer. The more you actually spend time with Jesus, the more you're actually going to look a lot like Jesus. The more you spend time speaking into the presence of the Holy Spirit, the more your life is going to look like you've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. It says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, listen to me, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared in advance for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by what? His Spirit. What the Spirit teaches you, I can't teach you. What the Spirit gives you, I can't give you. If you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit, you don't get the words that the Holy Spirit gives your soul. But it was to us, God revealed these things by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches out everything and shows us, listen to this, the deep secrets of God. Wow. How cool is that? I mean, is it possible that your prayers to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, opens your soul in such a way that he mingles into your soul and into your conscience and into your life and into every fabric of your being, and he says, I'm going to teach you the secrets of God, the ones that even theologians can't explain. And you'll feel it in the mystery of your own soul. And somebody will say, what happened? And you go, I have no idea, but man, I'm telling you, I am so filled with the love of God. I'm so saturated by the grace of Jesus. And I am actually walking in Holy Spirit power like I've never walked in my life. So you know what I'm asking you to do this week? I'm asking that you just take time. I'm not kidding. Shut the thing down. I don't know what it is. That thing is, I don't know what it is. Shut it down. Would you like literally schedule some time with the Holy Spirit? Would you like maybe even possibly do something really stupid and radical like lay on the floor? Maybe it might be in the middle of King Supers, God will actually speak to you to pray for somebody that you had no idea. You know, I sent those text messages out, and there was one phone number that was wrong, and it went out to somebody else. The guy texted me back and said, I don't even know who you are. Who's Pastor Donnie? And I said, oh, you're not so-and-so? He goes, no, I'm not her. I'm a he. Oh, so you're not him. You're somebody else. Yes, I don't know who you are. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but the number that was on our database for our church probably got changed. Maybe they changed their number and now you're getting the message. So I don't know who you are, but I do know this, that I just prayed for you. That the God of the universe that is, who sits in, I literally text this, the God who sits in unapproachable light, like you can't even see him, otherwise you might actually die. I actually prayed his spirit into your life, and I don't even know who you are. And he texts back and he said, man, where is your church? And I said, we're in Arvada. And he was like, I'm in Castle Rock. I wish I was closer. He said, maybe one day I'll just come see you. He's like, a church that actually has a pastor that prays like that as a friend to his people? He texts back and he says, there is no church like that that I know of. And I said, yeah, I haven't been that either. I said, I just know that God wants to love you where you're at. That he would give you glorious power, unsearchable riches, that you would know him and be known by him. I'm just a carnal dude up here who has a lot of flaws in his life, but somehow when I start to step into the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that he can't overcome in my life. So there's certain people that came in here this morning. I saw you and I thought, we gotta pray over these people. I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like you can't come here and be prayed for last week, like we did last week. We can just continue that. So I don't care if you got a hip out of place or a bad toenail, we'll pray over it. I don't care if your heart is broken and your marriage is sick, we'll pray over it. If there's something in your life right now that you can't overcome, then just come. Let's just be a real family that says we're going to pray over you again. Maybe you felt like it didn't take last week. Come again, we'll pray again. We'll keep praying until it happens. Because God heals his people when they call upon him. The Spirit speaks when we actually speak to the Spirit. So come, stand up with me, would you? Stand up with me, let's worship. And as we're worshiping during the song, if you want to continue in that and you want to come forward, you want to be prayed over, we're going to just do that. We're going to be like one of those churches that actually takes your brokenness and says, we can't fix it, but he can. Let's just give it to the Lord this morning.